Welcome to Tardi Mecha Parsha. My name is Shira Hochheimer, and today we will be learning Parshios Bahar and Bechukosai, the 9th and 10th Parshios of Sefer Vayikra. Parshios Bahar begins with the laws of Shemitah and some laws of real estate in Israel which are controlled by Yovel, the 50th year when land reverts back to the original owner. It also includes laws how to treat an Eved Ivri, a Jewish slave, properly. Parshios Bechukosai begins with the wonderful blessings that will come to the Jewish people if they keep and learn Torah, and then warns the people of the curses, disease, and desolation that will come with the abandonment of the Torah. The parsha also includes laws regarding items that were consecrated for holy work and special tithes to be used by their owners in Yerushalayim. I would like to focus on the section of the Torah which deals with the blessings and the curses and examine how by looking at the first mitzvos of Parshas Bahar and the last mitzvos of Parshas Bechukosai, we can set ourselves and our society up to be available for only blessings. Parshas Bechukosai begins with a series of conditions that cause blessing. Im Bechukosai Telecho, if you walk with my laws, the Es Mitzvosai Tishmoru, and you faithfully guard my commandments, Vasisimosam, and do them, then the result is that Hashem will give us rain, produce, and peace. The result of living a life of following Chukim and Mitzvos is a reward in this world. The first pasuk seems to be repetitive, and the Mefarshim explain how each phrase is significant. Rashi explains that in Bechukosai Telechu, if you walk with my laws, it does not refer to mitzvah observance. Rather, it means Shetihyu Amelim B'Torah, that a person should study the Torah with great effort. The second half of the pasuk means that a person should fulfill what they have already studied. Rabbeinu Bechaye explains this pasuk differently. He says that the chukim, the unexplained laws that the pasuk is referring to, are actually the laws of Shemitah and Yovel, which were the subject of the previous parsha. When we follow the laws of Shemitah in our lands, we will merit that Hashem will care for our land in a miraculous way. We will have rain at the proper time, which will grow food in abundance. Because our material needs will be cared for, we will have the bandwidth to devote our lives to spiritual pursuits. In contrast, Im Bechukosai Lo Telechu, but if you do not follow my chukim, Vim Lo Tishmuli, and if you don't listen to me, Velo Sasu is Kol HaMitzvos Se'ela, and do not do all these mitzvos, then Hashem brings a series of punishments. This phrase seems to be the exact opposite of our introduction to the blessings, and indeed, Rashi says its meaning is the opposite of our first pasuk. This pasuk means that if you do not study Torah with intensity, then the consequences will be that a person will not keep the mitzvos. This will lead to a series of an additional 5 negative behaviors. Rabbeinu Bechaye does not say that this phrase is opposite of the beginning of the parsha, as he says it does not refer to Shemitah. Rabbeinu Bechaye agrees with Rashi that the first phrases mean that a person does not study Torah intensely, which causes him eventually to deny the divinity of Torah and the belief in Hashem entirely. The blessings and curses that follow the description of our behavior is a direct outgrowth from how we act. Chazal say, "B'midash adam moded modedin lo." How a person measures, that is what Hashem measures for him. This means that Hashem acts with the same attitude toward a person as that person has to life and to other people. As we said in Parshas Tzav, the world is built as a cycle. When we do an action on this earth, that triggers something spiritual in heaven, and Hashem then magnifies our behavior back down to us in the physical world. When we embrace Torah study, we are given the tools to continue in the form of material ease. When we abandon Hashem in the 7 ways listed in the initial Pasukim, Hashem gives us 7 corresponding punishments. We want to avoid the punishments associated with not learning Torah and want the blessings for learning Torah. How do we do this? Rashi says we should focus on learning Torah intensely, and Rabbeinu Bechaye says we should keep Shemitah. We will see that both of these laws are connected and lead us to the same place. The Sefer HaChinuch explains 3 reasons for the mitzvahs of Shemitah. The first is that with Shemitah we rest the land in the 7th year after 6 years of work, which helps us remember that Hashem created the world in 6 days and rested on the 7th. Nothing was here before the world was created. Because we are in Hashem's world, we need to listen to Him. This world is not eternal. We are on the earth for a limited time, and we must use that time for our purpose. The second reason is to help us develop into giving people. During the Shemitah, the farmer has no choice but to look out at the trees into which he has invested so much work, and he cannot profit from them. He has to let anyone come and literally eat the fruits of his labor. Being forced to give will help the farmer develop generosity as a habit. Torah society is not a utopia, and we do not need to share our possessions at all times. But once every 7 years, we need to look at our stuff and disconnect our identity and possession over it and let others take it. The third reason is to help us develop bitachon. For 1 year, there is no paycheck coming in. According to nature, we don't know how we're going to eat. There's no money. Yet Hashem tells us that we will have food. This practice builds our bitachon, our trust in Hashem. These results of Shemitah help us learn Torah with more intensity, which, according to Rashi, is what leads to the material wealth. Becoming a Torah scholar takes time. Someone just told me that his philosophy is that if others work from 9 to 5 p.m., he works from 5 p.m. to 9 a.m. to get ahead. If we are investing all our efforts into work, we won't have the time or energy to learn Torah. We need the strength of conviction to go home, close our computer, and make time to learn Torah. We could do this when we know that Hashem is the one who made the world, it has a beginning and an end, and our lives are finite, and we can't take money with us. Just like we work for 6 years and rest during the seventh, we need to carve out time during our lives to earn something for the next world. Also, just like Shemitah taught us to have bitachon in Hashem, we need to know that parnasa, our income, comes from Hashem. When we do the right things, like learning Torah, we can trust that Hashem is going to take care of us. The final reason for Shemitah was that it develops within us generosity. Learning Torah can have the same impact. There was a study in 2011 which found that people from a lower socioeconomic class were more empathetic than those in a higher class. When people are more affluent, they start to expect others to take care of themselves just as they can. The Torah helps us counteract this dangerous attitude so that we can be protected even when we are blessed with material abundance. It reminds us that Hashem created this world to give and asks of us to have empathy and generosity by performing the many mitzvot that we learn about in the Torah. Ignoring Torah learning has the same root as ignoring Shemitah. When we don't invest time and effort in Torah study, it is often because we feel the need to work and to hustle, which makes us forget about Hashem. Our attitude is that life is chaotic, things just happen, and we need to protect ourselves from risk. When we don't learn, we become absorbed in remaining competitive. We also don't know enough to keep mitzvot, and the mitzvot are not our priority. When we have this attitude that it is all about me and my efforts, we lose sight of growing spiritually and relying on Hashem. Hashem then keeps sending wake-up calls to us to try to nudge us to recognize the opportunities we are wasting in our lives, and He also allows our lives to be more chaotic, as this is the way that we treat our lives. Shemitah does not come often. It is only every 7 years, and so these fundamental messages may be hard to remember. We can slack from learning Torah if we have to wait 7 years for a reminder that the world is made to learn Torah. The end of Parshas Bechukosai has two mitzvot that help us prioritize Torah learning every year and minimize the chances of our becoming obsessed with financial and material success. At the end of Parshas Bechukosai, we learn about Maaser Sheni and Maaser Behema. Maaser Sheni is the tithe a farmer must take from the produce grown in a year that must be eaten in Yerushalayim, or that produce can be sold with a 20% surcharge that the farmer has to add, and then that money is used in Yerushalayim. Farmers set aside this Maaser in years 1, 2, 4, and 6 of the Shemitah cycle. A farmer couldn't use this money for any other purposes or give it to tzedakah. It had to be used in Yerushalayim. The next law is similar. A farmer with cows, sheep, and goats had to bring 1 out of 10 of all animals born that year to Yerushalayim. All animals that didn't have a defect were slaughtered in the Beis HaMikdash. The owner had to eat that meat over the course of 2 days. If the animals had a defect, they just had to be eaten in Yerushalayim. This was not a korban, as the Kohen did not receive any parts from the meat. This was all for the owner. The tithing looked different than what was done with the produce. Each species of animal born in that year would be corralled into an area, and then the animals would pass single file through a gate. As they left the stall, the farmer would count them, 1, 2, 3, up to 9. The 10th would then be set aside to bring to Yerushalayim. The farmer couldn't sell these animals or give them away. He was also not allowed to exchange a better animal that had not been counted as a 10th for one that came through as a 10th that had a defect. This was meant to teach him that everything he had from the beginning to the end belonged to Hashem and was Hashem's, and Hashem would always value the Jewish people and would never switch them for another nation. There is a third similar law not mentioned in the parsha called Netzer Ravai. When a farmer would plant a tree, he could not use the fruit for the first 3 years. During the fourth year, That fruit needed to be eaten in Yerushalayim. Why do we have these laws that we have food that we need to eat only in Yerushalayim? The Torah is seemingly creating a parallel economy that centers on Yerushalayim for the entire land of Israel. The Chinuch gives a fantastic explanation. Hashem wants us to be wise and learned and know Torah. However, Hashem knows that we're drawn after stuff. We are physical beings and the lure of money captures us so easily. It's hard to remember that our priority is not what we own. We have bills to pay, expenses, tuition, and it's nice to have a new outfit or go on vacation. It is natural for us to focus on work and forget to study Torah. People don't just leave money and their property and business without a lot of arrangements and go and learn Torah. To combat this, Hashem makes a farmer go up to Yerushalayim each year so that he can use up all the meat he has there. He needs to use the produce and fruits. The farmer would bring their animals to the Beis HaMikdash to be shechted. And what was right next to the Beis HaMikdash where the shechting was happening? The Sanhedrin, the wisest scholars of the Jewish people. When a person was in Yerushalayim, he would be exposed to advanced Torah learning and scholarship. This wasn't a tourist stopping to get a bracha from a gadol in Yerushalayim. He would be there for a while. So he would use all the animals and Meiser Sheni and Eter Avai produce he had. It would be like he had credit card miles that he had to use only in Yerushalayim. And he'd be there in a community and in a city that was focused on learning Torah in an advanced way. This left the farmer with only two options. Either he himself would go to Yerushalayim, and he would then learn Torah, or he would send at least one of his children to learn Torah in Yerushalayim. This system and the economy that grew out of it changed the face of Jewry. Every family had at least one person who lived in Yerushalayim and was there to learn Torah for an extended period of time each year. The Chinuch said that because of this system, every single home in Klal Yisrael would have at least one person who was a Talmud Chacham. When that person returned from Yerushalayim, he didn't keep his new knowledge to himself, but he would teach his family with renewed enthusiasm. As a result, there would be no ignorant people, as throughout the land of Israel, there were individuals who had invested in learning Torah. The Chinuch points out what Jewish learning would look like without this system. You might have a city sponsor one Talmud Chacham, or maybe even a kollel of 10, who are known to have potential to be tremendous Talmudei Chachamim, and they would then have them be the rabbis and teachers. But with only 10 in a city, there would still be whole neighborhoods and, of course, many homes that would not have anyone who had significant Torah knowledge. The Chinuch adds that let's say you say this is fine, the man of the house will go to hear a shir from the community scholar in shul. What happens to the wives and children who are at home? They all can't go out to shul to learn every night. Who is teaching them and inspiring them? How often would the women and children go to shul or learn from a Talmud Chacham? The Chinuch says whether it was once a year or even once a week, it is not enough. Torah needs to be a daily part of a family's life. Without it, the family won't grow in Yiras Shemayim, fear of heaven, and be able to keep mitzvos. But if there is someone who can learn and teach in every home, and that learning is the focus of the family, morning, evening, and night, then the family will always be thinking about Hashem and always about the Torah and following the Torah and mitzvos. Every person in the Jewish nation, man, woman, and child, would be able to stay true to the Torah ideals and no one would sin. When we make the Torah the focus of our homes and our lives and put Hashem as the center of our daily existence by learning Torah, this triggers a similar response from Hashem. It says at the beginning of Bechukosai, "V'nasati mishkani b'sochachem v'lo segal nafshi eschem. I will establish my home in your midst and I will not spurn you. V'salachti b'sochachem, and I will be ever present in your midst. V'hayisi lachem l'elokim. I will be for you, a God who is involved with you. V'atem tzuli la'am. And you will be my people." We want this bracha and don't want the scary curses of Bechukosai. But how are we supposed to attain this if we do not have Shemitah, Meiser Sheni, or Neter Avai? During the time of the Beis HaMikdash, the Torah set up systems so that everything supports our goals. It's easier not to get caught up in our rat race and to realize Hashem is in charge when we have these mitzvos. What can we do to make this happen when we are in Galus? From the midst of the parsha, we can learn that we need systems that we can implement to ensure that we continue to work hard at learning Torah. Every single family must have Torah inspiration as part of their daily life structure. We need to choose to make a Melech B'Torah, effort in Torah learning, part of at least one person's schedule in the home, and that Torah must be shared with the family and the community. There must be structures and systems to support this goal. We can set this up within our family and also for investing in systems and structures within our community. We must set for ourselves high standards and inspire ourselves to be a melim b'Torah, working hard at learning Torah. Adam la'amal yulad. It says in Eov that man was made to work hard. The question is, where will we put our efforts and what will we be doing that makes us work hard? When we remember that Hashem is in charge and we devote our lives to growing our spiritual bank account, Hashem will give us the funds so that we are able to do this. If we keep focusing on material wealth and nothing else and disconnect from Hashem, the results can be catastrophic. May our investments in Torah learning and faith be the impetus to bring the redemption so that we can finally renew the process of ascending to Yerushalayim every year, and so that Hashem will walk within our midst and always be with us as our God, and we will be His nation. Have a good Shabbos.